Time to let it go. But okay, he said, tossing the ball back to the caretaker. Lock that thing up and we'll head off to the Dimity Road, if it does you. Just a couple more questions. Cullum shrugged and put the Yaz ball back into the case. It's your nickel. I know, Eddie said. And suddenly, for the second time since he'd come through the door, Susanna seemed weirdly close. He saw her sitting in a room filled with antique-looking science and surveillance equipment. Jake's Dogen, for sure. Only as Susanna must have imagined it. He saw her speaking into a mic, and although he couldn't hear her, he could see her swollen belly and a frightened face. Now very pregnant, wherever she was. Pregnant and ready to pop. He knew well enough what she was saying. Come, Eddie, save me, Eddie. Save both of us. Do it before it's too late. Eddie, Roland said, you've come over all gray, is it your leg? Yeah, Eddie said, although right now his leg didn't hurt at all. He thought again of whittling the key, the dreadful responsibility of knowing it had to be just right, and here he was again, in much the same situation. He had hold of something, he knew he did, but what? Yeah, my leg. The armed sweat from his forehead. John, about the name of the book, Salem's Lot. That's actually Jerusalem's Lot, right? Yeah. It's the name of the town in the book. Yeah. Stephen King's second book. Yeah. His second novel. Eddie, Roland said, surely that's enough. Eddie waved him aside, then winced at the pain in his arm. His attention was fixed on John Cullum. There is no Jerusalem's Lot, right? Cullum looked at Eddie as if he were crazy. Of course not, he said. It's a made-up story about made-up folks in a made-up town. It's about vampires. Yes, Eddie thought, and if I told you I have reason to believe that vampires are real, not to mention invisible demons, magic balls, and witches, you'd be absolutely positive I was nuts, wouldn't you? Do you happen to know if Stephen King has been living in this Bridgeton town his whole life? No, he hasn't. He and his family moved down here 2, maybe 3 years ago. I believe they lived in Wyndham first, when they got down from the northern part of the state. Or maybe it was Raymond, one of the towns on Big Sebago, anyway. Would it be fair to say that these walk-ins you mentioned have been turning up since the guy moved into the area? Cullum's bushy eyebrows went up, then knitted together. A loud and rhythmic hooting began to come to them from over the water, a sound like a foghorn. You know, Cullum said, you might have something there, son. It might only be coincidence, but maybe not. Eddie nodded. He felt emotionally wrung out, like a lawyer at the end of a long and difficult cross-examination. Let's blow this pop shop, he said to Roland. Might be a good idea, Cullum said, and tipped his head in the direction of the rhythmic foghorn blasts. That's Teddy Wilson's bot. He's the county constable, also a game warden. This time he tossed Eddie a set of car keys instead of a baseball. I'm giving you the automatic transmission, he said, just in case you're a little rusty. The truck's a stick shift. You follow me, and if you get in trouble, honk the horn. I will, believe me, Eddie said. As they followed Cullum out, Roland said, was it Susanna again? Is that why you lost all the color out of your face? Eddie nodded. We'll help her if we can, Roland said. But this may be our only way back to her. Eddie knew that. He also knew that by the time they got to her, it might be too late. Stave. Kamala Ka, Kate, you're in the hands of fate. No matter if you're real or not, the hour groweth late. Response. Kamala, come eight, the hour groweth late. No matter what the shade you cast, you're in the hands of fate.